Amen. This is part two of our series on expectant faith. And today I'm going to be speaking on the topic, acknowledging God's supernatural presence and activity among us. Acknowledging God's supernatural presence and activity among us. Again, you can find my notes on our website under the resources tab, under messages. It's down there. I place my notes there. I'm really grateful to Joshua. He's created some slides for us also. And so those resources are available to us. The Lord wants to grow a holy expectation in us. He wants to give us an active faith that embodies confidence and anticipation in God. And that's what we're looking at in the month of February, this four-part series. And we're sharing in our journey groups. We're letting the Word of God have the run of the house here. So we're spending time in God's Word around this topic of expectant faith and what God is saying. And then we're spending time in our journey groups, sharing, listening, and ministering what God is saying in us and to us and among us. Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We want to again look at our key verses for this series. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being certain of what we hope for and sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then verse 6, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we have defined this word for the year that the Lord has given to us. We've defined it faith, but we're calling it expectation, so that faith doesn't lose that cutting edge for us. We want to elevate and emphasize one part of faith, and one part of faith is having an expectancy, an anticipation, a confidence, a trust. And it begins with expectation in God, because God is faithful. We read in the verses 2 to 5 that it talks about God is the one that our forefathers believed in, because he spoke and he created everything out of nothing. Our God speaks his word, keeps his word, fulfills his word. And so our God is the God who speaks. Our God is the God who moves, and he walks in relationship with his people so closely, like Enoch, that he wants us to know that he's really, really real. And there are people of faith, our spiritual journey, that we see God's activity in their lives so real. They're so active in the Lord. Like in Enoch's case, he was taken up to be with God in heaven. He literally went to be with God there in his presence. So expectation, we're defining it as two parts. One is it's expectation in God, who is faithful to keep his word. We have our placards over here summarizing some of the prophetic words that the Lord has given to us. Those prophetic words are on our website. Those prophetic words are over here at our welcome center, because we believe God has called us to be a people. And when he says things to us, we respond by saying yes, and we choose to respond to who he is. We choose to be a people of intimacy, community, and kingdom, growing in our awareness of who he is, our authenticity with one another, and our ability to get in action around what he's saying and doing. We choose to be a people of hope. This passage says again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. It's this confidence. God has put a hope out there. He's put a hope and a future out there for all of us. But as a congregation, God has spoken to us, and he wants us to live in expectation that God will fulfill his words over us. And Mike Green, in our elders meetings and some prayer meetings we've been a part of, we're becoming aware that the enemy wants to steal our hope, because faith has nothing to hold on to. It doesn't have something it can latch on to if it loses its hope in God. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. So many people's hopes, they're dying and they're diminishing. But when we put our hope in God and what he's promised and what he says, it actually is an anchor for our faith and what we see in the Lord. And then God has called us to be a people of harvest. God is reaching people, touching people, both here and all over the world. It's amazing to hear the stories of what our God is doing. And we get to be a part of that. We want to be a part of his breaking in this place, breaking through our lives, and then breaking out in the community, our spheres of influence. We want to be a people of a pioneering spirit. God has called us to partner with him, to journey with him. Calvary's always been a part of a pioneering church, and we document our journey. We try to help others learn from where we've made mistakes and what we're discovering about God and what we're learning about him. And then finally, those prophetic words raise the expectation that our lives, our church, We are to be a place of encounter. God wants to encounter us. And that's what we're talking about this morning. When the Lord spoke to me about this word of expectation for the year, I really believed that God was wanting to grow me, grow us, and our awareness and our anticipation, our expectation of God's activity in our midst, both now and in the years past and into the years to come. The truth is, the Lord is active among us. He's been active among us, and He is active among us. And oftentimes, our guests will come and make comments, and they'll make statements about their awareness of what God is doing, about what God is accomplishing, what God's saying. They have this sense of expectation, they have this sense of awareness that He's moving. And some of us who've been here a really long time, we take that for granted. We forget how present and how near the Lord really is in our midst. So what I'm hoping is, through today's message, we'll not just be so accustomed to God's work, both in the past and the present, that we take it for granted, but I want us to be a people who elevate our expectation and our awareness. In light of that, at our journey group this past Tuesday night, Doug and Patty Smithwick are a part of our group. They couldn't be here this morning to share this testimony. I asked them to, and they're ministering to some friends who have cancer. They've gone to see them in Austin. Felt like the Lord had asked them to do that earlier in the week. But He sent me his testimony because as Doug was sharing, he shared about his experience with the Lord last Sunday morning in our midst, and it really moved me, and it really just, it spoke to me, and it was right in line with what I was going to be sharing this morning about being aware, acknowledging God's supernatural activity, God's supernatural presence here among us. Let me read to you what Doug wrote. This is what he shared at our journey group, and this comes from last Sunday morning. First, he quotes Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love, He will calm all your fears. And He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Doug writes, this past Sunday morning during worship, as Amanda Graves started singing the spontaneous songs, and then as Joshua joined in, I suddenly realized that I was hearing many more voices ringing out than just their two voices. At the same time, I felt a shift in the atmosphere here in the meeting. The church went feeling like it was about two-thirds full to feeling like it was crowded wall to wall. I believe that we were joining in the songs of heaven and that heaven was coming down upon us. We were singing together with the host of heaven. Our prayer of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, of your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, was being fulfilled in our midst. I believe this past Sunday, Doug writes, that my ears were open to hear, which was a gift to me from a really good father. Then as he reflected on the story of what God did in us Sunday morning, he was reminded of the two men on the road to Emmaus who walked alongside Jesus. They talked with him, but they did not recognize him. Towards the end of the story, it says that God opened their eyes and they came to recognize him. And Doug writes, I think Pastor Steve calls this the grace of awareness. That is what I received last Sunday, the grace of awareness. At Calvary, we have become too familiar with the things of God, and it causes blindness. The scripture says that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst also. It was surprising to hear the angelic realm, but that is what's really going on around us. Jesus shows up at Calvary all the time. Sometimes we recognize him, and other times we do not. After returning to Calvary, after being away for a really long time, I was so encouraged by the activity of the Holy Spirit here. I could see many signs of life at Calvary. One of the first things that I recall the Lord saying to me was to pray that the people of Calvary would have greater expectation for the moving of the Spirit and eyes to see what he was doing. Now is the time to believe God for great things. He quotes Matthew 5, 6. I will pour out water upon him that's thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessings upon thine offspring. That's actually Isaiah 43, 3. Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And then Doug writes, as they were leaving church Sunday morning, he looked over at Patty and he just asked her a question. He said, did you notice anything different in worship today? Did you notice anything different in worship today? She sat for a few seconds in quiet reflection. And then she said, yes, now that you mention it, there were more voices I heard than I could see. And that's just an amazing confirmation. Amen. So I'm listening to them share this testimony because he looked over at Patty and asked her that same question in Journey Group. When Patty answered that question, I remembered my experience last Sunday morning in the middle of worship. We're singing, and then all of a sudden, I heard a bunch more people than were on the stage. And so y'all know, well, you might not know this. You need to come around and watch when I'm worshiping because I just keep my eyes closed most of the whole service. I'm just up here focused on the Lord. I don't want to be distracted. So I had to open my eyes and I began looking for the extra mics. I was looking for who's singing because I couldn't find the voices. And I looked around and I looked over at Sahoy at the piano. She didn't have a mic. I thought maybe they mic'd up the guitarist and the bass cat and Steven. I looking around and I think they're not mic'd up. And I didn't even think about that thought that I had in the middle of the worship. Until I heard Patty say, yeah, I just thought there were more voices here, and I looked up to see that. And so that, needless to say, got my attention when they shared that testimony. And it was really encouraging to me. It raised my faith, which is what I think God wants us to be aware of. So turn your Bibles to 2 Kings. They start with a cuss sound, don't they? Wasn't even close. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. This is the story of Elisha and his servant and the king of Aram, his armies that come against the people of God. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. So let's listen to the Spirit as we read this. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God time and time again. Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? So he thinks he's got a mole. He thinks he's got someone that's leaking information to the king of Israel. None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words that you speak in your bedroom. King ordered, go find out where he is so that I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night. They surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant. He looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed, the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man that you're looking for. And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill men that you've captured with your own sword and bow? Rather, set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Isn't that an amazing strategy of war? I mean, the way that they stopped the marauders coming into their land and stealing and plundering and killing was to feed them after they've had a supernatural encounter with God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's our God. The Lord was present and active in this passage all around Elisha and his servant. However, the servant was unaware. All he could see were the horses and the chariots and the army of the enemy surrounding them. So Elisha prays, and he asked the Lord God, he says, open the eyes so that he may see. And then the Lord answers that prayer, opens Elisha's servant's eyes to see the army of the Lord. He sees now the horses all in the hills around them. And then he sees chariots of fire around Elisha. So he's seen in the natural. He's seen the horses. He's seen the chariots. He's seen the armies. And he is struck with fear. And now, when Elisha prays and God answers, he sees another part, another dimension, another part of what's really real around them. I tell you, Calvary, I pray what Elisha prayed for his servant. I pray that for my life, and I pray that for us all the time. Lord, open my eyes. Open my heart. Open my ears so that I could see better. I could perceive better, I could hear better, I could know better. I want to increase in my capacities, in my spiritual journey with the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. First Corinthians 14, 1 says, follow the way of love, and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Skipping down to verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and their comfort. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it's a continuation of a teaching that Paul has started in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I said second, it's actually 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's teaching on the spiritual gifts. He's teaching on what we can expect God to do through his people, do in the midst of his people. And God wants us to know these things. And the powerful revelation of how God wants to move through spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then he goes on to talking about the prophetic ministry and how God actually ministers to people in different places in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Chapter 13, the love passage is right there, sandwiched between them, and says this is the context for everything that we do. This is the spirit, the atmosphere that we have in all the ministry that we do, and that's the spirit of love, being a people of love. So he says, as he transitions in chapter 14, he says, follow the way of love, which is to follow the way of the Lord, because God is love, to follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So the question that would come before us today is, how many of us have set it as our heart's desire to earnestly seek spiritual gifts, especially that we would grow in what we call the revelatory, the prophetic, being all the ways that God speaks to us? On our website, we've got there, Steve preached a sermon years ago about 14 different ways that God speaks, and he listed them there. And that's just came to him, just as popped into his head as he was preparing that message and that teaching. There's many more ways that God speaks, because our God is a communicating God. That earnestly desire, that's actually an imperative. It's a command. You've heard us say that here. We are commanded to desire, to grow, to seek, to mature in spiritual gifts. All the spiritual gifts of revelation, of power, of faith, all the different categories of spiritual gifts, we're supposed to grow in those. And he says, especially in the revelatory, especially in the ability to see, hear, perceive what the Lord is saying and doing, so that we can give words that are encouraging, words that are strengthening, and words that are comforting to people. We want to see people bound up, that would be bind up, they would be strengthened, they'd be encouraged, they'd be built up, and then they'd be comforted That God just wants to do that. He wants to comfort us, to stir us up. And so, Calvary, God wants us to not settle for where we are in our spiritual journey. If you feel like you've arrived, or if you feel like you don't have more to get or to learn or to grow in, you've reached a place that is not where God has ordained for us to be. Even the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he says, man, I forget everything that's behind me, the good and the bad, the things that were of his tradition that didn't lead him to Jesus and the things that were amazing. He says, but I press on. He had this heart, this thought, I'm going to keep on pressing on. I'm not going to settle until I've got everything of the Lord. And he experienced a lot in the Lord. In this season, I believe that one of the applications of expectant faith is to say, God, I want to see better, I want to hear better, I want to perceive better, I want to grow in my capacity of awareness with you. When we talk about the assignments that God has given us, he's called us to be a church of intimacy, community, and kingdom. Intimacy. We want to grow in our capacities to be aware and to acknowledge the Lord in our lives personally and in our lives around us as to what he's doing. Awareness. We can grow in greater awareness. Now, there are prophetic people like Elisha and others that have an anointing that's very amazing. The Bible actually talks about in the Old Testament, there are categories of the prophetic people. Like there's Nathan the prophet and Gad the seer. Gad was one of those that could see with his natural eyes what was going on. That was just a part of his prophetic anointing or that revelatory anointing. And I have friends that move in that seer anointing. They can see in the natural what God's doing and be aware of how he's moving in people. I'm not a visual person. I don't get those things, but I still add it to my list of earnestly desiring. I ask the Lord for dreams, for visions, for open visions, closed visions. I ask him to touch my eyes because I want to see better. I want to see more. I want to invite you to do the same thing. I think that's a part of earnestly desiring the spiritual gifts. We're all demanded or commanded to grow in the prophetic or the revelatory because he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy to strengthen, encourage, and comfort people. That's called inspirational prophecy. Inspirational prophecy. So, where are you in your prayer life and in your journey? Are you articulating really clearly what you're asking the Lord for in your life? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians, so you can put your finger in chapter 12, but we want to jump to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 and 19. Again, I'm asking the Lord, I want to perceive better, I want to hear better, I want to see better, and I want to partner better with you. I want to know you better. And that's what this passage says, Ephesians 1, 17 and 19. Paul prays, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. So there, Paul is praying that we would experience God's spirit of wisdom and revelation, not so that we can just point to ourselves and say, look what I'm seeing or hearing or knowing, but the goal of the prophetic, the goal of the revelatory, the goal of hearing, seeing, and perceiving better is so that I can grow in my knowledge and my experience, my love relationship with the Lord. It's meant to strengthen me. It's meant to change me. And we know that when the Holy Spirit comes on us with power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's so that our words would be anointed. We would be anointed with boldness and confidence to be his witnesses, to give witness to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the spirit of the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So here, Paul has listed 9 different spiritual gifts. They belong to the Spirit of God, and God who lives in us, the Spirit of Christ lives in us as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God can manifest these gifts in and through our lives. And he names them here because they're knowable, they're tangible, they're functional. They have capacities that God wants us to walk in. And so a part of my prayer life is I pray to the Lord and I ask him not only to give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation from Ephesians chapter 1, not only that I would grow in the prophetic, but I mention these spiritual gifts by name, and I ask the Lord, would you help me to grow in words of knowledge? Would you give me words of knowledge, words of wisdom? Would you give me the power of the Holy Spirit? Would you give me healings? Would you release prophecy, distinguishing tongue? I just mentioned these 9, and I'll read this passage to the Lord, and I'll say, Lord, I want to grow in all these. I want to grow in my capacity in all these different ways that you have for my life. Again, I want to put it out there and ask, are you seeking? Are you asking? Are you knocking? Are you expecting and anticipating that God really wants to answer those prayers like Elisha prays for his servant, that God really wants us to grow in our capacities and spiritual gifts so that we can see better, know better, perceive better, so that we could hear better, so we could acknowledge better what God is doing in and around us. Some would ask, well, what if I can't see? Or what if I can't hear the Spirit yet? That's a great question. When we started moving the things of the Spirit here, we began to pray for the sick because God's Word convinced us. Pastor Steve taught us that God is here to heal. That's a part of the ministry of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, 18 and 19. Jesus comes to heal, save, deliver, and encourage. And God wanted to create time in our services. He'd already marked that out through supernatural times of silence where he carved out time in our services and he revealed us what he wanted to do in those times. He was carving out time for him to touch people with his presence and his power. So Pastor Steve came and led us to pray for people. That's where ministry team training started because we would say, ask people to help us to pray as we were praying long hours as pastors. And we saw God move. And in those early days when we were praying, I wouldn't hear anything. I wouldn't see anything. I wouldn't know anything. I didn't even know what a word of knowledge was. I didn't know what a word of wisdom was. I didn't know about the gifts of healings except of what we had taught. But I would see people get healed and touched by God just out of raw obedience. Just because I was willing to do what our senior pastor asked us to do and do what God said in his word he wanted to do, and I just made myself available. That's the place to start, amen, is to be available. It's just to start right where you are. If you can't see things in the spirit yet, if you aren't hearing things, and when I'm saying hearing, there are friends that I have that have heard the audible voice of God. I have never heard the audible voice of God that I know. I have friends who have. But I get impressions. Sometimes words of knowledge come like impressions or just annoying. I'll get ready to pray for somebody. And I'm asking the Lord, how do you want me to pray for them? And this thought will just pop into my head. Or I'll hear this word in the inner man, in my inner person, fear. And so it's not audible. It's not like an external voice. But it's a speaking, it's a communicating. And then when I say, hey, does fear mean anything to you? And they say, yeah, that's what I'm struggling with. God puts his finger on it. That's called a word of knowledge so that he can deal with that. That's an illustration of how God speaks. So when I'll oftentimes say that God's speaking to me, and when I'm saying that, it's not audible. It comes in impressions. It comes through the word. It comes in so many different ways. It comes just like through journaling. It comes, the Lord speaks in so many different ways, but I don't hear him audibly. But I do ask him, I want to hear you better. So what I'm saying is, Lord, I know you're communicating, and I want to be a better listener. I want to pay attention. I want to appreciate. I want to acknowledge, and I want to get in on what you're saying and doing, however you're speaking. Again, not limiting him to just the way God speaks in his word. When we first began Calvary, one of the things that we were known as a hyper evangelistic congregation. We were seeing people come to Christ. We had powerful messages early on, and the spirit of conviction would come into the church service. And at that time, I think Pastor Steve has referenced it in the past. We used to, the different pastors sat on the platform back in the day. And so the spirit of conviction would come into the room. And my goodness, I would just start sweating because I'm going, Lord, I thought I was saved. Lord, why do I feel lost? Lord, what is it that, Lord, I've nailed this down. You know, all those terms that we used. And I would say, Lord, you know, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to know you. I give my life to you all over again. And this would go on for weeks and weeks and weeks as the spirit of conviction was moving the room. And finally, one day the impression came to me, would you stop praying like that? This isn't about you. It's about what I'm doing out there in their hearts. Would you bless what I'm doing? Because I thought it was all about me. Woe is me. I'm lost. I don't know Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus. And that was a paradigm shifting encounter with the Lord. I was going, oh, I'm supposed to be blessing what you're doing out there. Now, I didn't hear that. What I just digested for you was not, it was not audible, but it was really clear like that. And I'm glad God clearly communicated to me, because it was shame producing to every Sunday get saved again because I got lost, you know, and that's not even my theology. But I was used to the spirit of conviction. That's the way that I learned how God speaks when I was growing up. That was really clear in my upbringing, the spirit of conviction. I learned to pay attention to that. The living word of God, that was a, we spent time, in, but there are other ways that God speaks. And so I was attentive to the spirit of conviction, but it didn't dawn on me to ask him, so Lord, what are you doing and how can I bless what you're doing? Didn't even cross my mind to do that. Well, we've made a long journey, right? And God is moving. We've learned a lot of things. But, oh, Calvary, there's so much more. There's so much more that God wants us to know. So, what if you're not seeing? What if you're not hearing? Just raw obedience. Just promptly obey the impressions that the Lord is putting on you or saying to you. Be faithful with little, and he says he'll make you a ruler over much. So if you're faithful with little, those little words, those little impressions, those little promptings, hey, go pray for this person. Hey, write this person a note. Hey, call this person. Hey, that person's sad. Pray for them. Follow those impressions. Be faithful with those little things. And I want to say risk appropriately. And whatever the Lord gives you, if you'll risk appropriately, he'll see there's someone who's trying, even if you mess up, even if the person you feel led to go pray for and say, hey, is there something you need prayer for? And they go, no, then you've not failed. You've risked in a gentle, kind way, right? And you've told the Lord, I'm available to you. All that stuff that we teach in ministry team training. But what I'm saying is, ministry team training is not just for Saturday seminars. That's for us to live into as a lifestyle. Lord, how can I bless what you're doing? Lord, what are you doing? Lord, how would you have me to serve you or to represent you right now? So the truth is, you can still have expectant faith in God because the Lord has already spoken to us his living word. The Lord is already at work among us, and the Lord has already given us gifted people who share with us along the way what they're hearing or what they're seeing, and it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit among us, which is like our prophetic words that we got. Or like this past Sunday, the Lord's moving, and it's confirmed by two or three witnesses, and I want you to know it raised my faith. So according to Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, God has given gifted people to the body of Christ for our sake, that we, you and I, might be equipped for the works of service that God has called us to do. There are prophetic people in our midst, like Pastor Steve and others, who their job, their ministry, is to help us to grow in our capacity, skills, and anointing in what we call the revelatory, or in being able to see, hear, and perceive, and to partner with the Lord. And through the years, I've grown leaps and bounds in seeing and hearing and perceiving what the Lord is doing through revelatory giftings. Again, I'm not seeing with my open eyes, and I'm not, but I've just risked so many times on those impressions and those words of knowledge when they come and I feel them in my body, the different ways that we teach. I've just seen the Lord answer those and move through those humble obediences that my faith has just grown where I have a real high expectation when God begins to move and speak that way. Our God is a communicating God. He loves to share with us in so many different ways. So my prayer for us as a congregation is that we'll continue to hunger for more of God. I pray that we will all grow in our awareness of the Lord. And I pray that we'll all grow in our capacities to be the prophetic people that the Lord has called us to be. But again, you say, but what if I'm not hearing, seeing? Take those prophetic words on that sheet. Take the placards. God has already spoken. There are people that already have spoken, and we've tested those words and confirmed them that these are right. This is what the Lord is saying over us. Pray into them and ask the Lord to help you see growth in your life in those areas. What if we just grew in these five areas as a congregation? Or take the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 passage and pray those nine spiritual gifts. Pray the Ephesians 1 for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Calvary, let's be a people who just step out and pray, and then we partner, we risk appropriately, we step out in faith with what God is doing. And always remember that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation chapter 19:10 says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus is at work, the witness to what he's doing in our lives. We give testimony to it. That is a prophetic thing. When we speak about what the Lord's doing in our lives, when we speak about what he's doing in our midst, when we speak about how he loves people and cares for people and pursues people, that is the spirit of testimony. So the key to growing in seeing, hearing, and perceiving the Lord is to draw near to God. It's to follow the Lord Jesus. It's to walk by the Spirit, because you and I were created for relationship with God. And we know that relationship, intimacy, opens up lines of communication. That's what happens in relationships. And so let's draw it back to this place to say, let's pursue our relationship with the living God. Let's pursue it intentionally and passionately. Let's pursue it fervently this year. Let's pursue the Lord Jesus continually, consistently. Let's spend time with him. And as we do that, we'll grow in our capacities. I want to share with you in closing some ways that when I show up at a service like this, how I try to pay attention to what the Lord's doing. Here are some ways to grow in our awareness of God's supernatural activity among us. I'm just going to list these very quickly. I'm not going to speak long on them. They're on the website. I just want to list these. First of all, thank the Lord for what he has done, for what he has said, and for what he has promised. Express gratitude. When I come to our services, I'm thanking the Lord. Lord, I'm grateful for what you said, you've done, and you've promised. Thank you for your activity in our midst. And then I enter into worship, and I focus on the Lord, not just on what's going on around me, not just what I'm hungry for after the service, lunch. It's to focus on the Lord and abandon myself to the Lord. That's another way to become more aware. Thank the Lord for whatever you sense him doing, whatever you perceive that he's up to. Thank the Lord for it. Maybe you feel encouraged, or maybe you sense that spirit of conviction like I did, or maybe you're aware that God's here and he's meeting people. You see tears, or you can see joy. Bless whatever you see the Lord, or whatever you perceive the Lord doing in the lives of people around you. So we thank the Lord for what we sense. We bless the Lord for what we perceive. And then ask the Lord to help you to be aware. Like one of the things I do during our services, or during my daily walks with the Lord, my daily activity, is I just say, Lord, what are you doing in that person? What are you doing over here? What are you trying to accomplish here? I want to bless what he's doing, and I pay attention to that. And then I try to pray. Then practice risking appropriately. I mentioned that, just obeying the promptings of the Lord. And again, risking appropriately is just saying, hey, I was just thinking about you. Can I pray for you? Is there something that you need prayer for? Hey, the Lord just put you on my heart, and I just want you to know that. Sometimes I'll text people that's the prompting. I think I pray for people all the time, and every once in a while I'll get the impression, let them know you're praying for them. So I'll just send them an email or a text or whatever it is. Get equipped through books, classes, training, other resources. get equipped. Don't settle for where we are. But let's say I'm hungry for you, God, and I want more. Nurture your personal walk with the Lord. Nurture your personal walk with the Lord through regular spiritual practices. The spiritual practices position us to connect with God better. Then get involved in loving people and serving the Lord and doing the works of Jesus and praying for others. If you want to grow in your capacity to hear, pray for everybody that you can. Pray as often as you can. So pray for as many people as you can. Pray as often as you can. And you will grow in your capacity to hear the Lord. Oh, by the way, one parenthesis. In my journey with the Lord, I get a whole lot more for other people than I get for myself. How many of it's like that for you? Is that like that? I mean, you know, Will, after you prayed for somebody at ministry time or you're in your prayer time and God lays people on your heart, you know, it seems like when you're praying for people and laying hands on people and ministering, it seems like those impressions come and the revelation comes. And sometimes you're going, Lord, I've been praying for this for weeks. What about this? I need, that's just one of the tensions of the kingdom. Amen. And don't get mad and don't quit. Keep praying for people and keep asking for what you need. But don't say, well, everybody else, the first time they pray for it, they hear from God clearly about what they're asking God for. That's not been my experience. Oftentimes, God's teaching me patience and perseverance and persistence, some other things that he wants to do. Then I would just close by saying, join in corporate times of prayer and intercession. The Lord has used corporate prayer and prayer in teams to grow my faith and the ability to tune in the Spirit. I can't tell you how much I've grown by being a part of corporate prayer meetings and praying on ministry teams, making myself available. God, when I just offer him my little, he blesses it and makes it more. And he'll do the same thing for you. Conclusion, the Lord is here. The Lord is active among us. The Lord is at work. May we grow in our capacity and our ability to be acknowledging the Lord's supernatural presence and activity among us, and may we grow in our expectant faith. That's what I'm praying for all of us. Amen? This morning, we felt like we were supposed to pray differently in our service this morning. Your elders have felt led. One of the scriptural models is from James chapter 5, verse 14. It says, is any of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the person well. The Lord will raise him up. There are different models of healing and different models, different ways that God moves and touches people. One of those is through our ministry teams. That's our normative way of praying for people. But another way that we pray for people here at Calvary and that people, they'll ask the elders to pray for them. We just felt like there's such an onslaught of sickness and critical issues and needs among us as the body of Christ that we, the elders, want to make ourselves available today to anoint with oil and to pray. Oil is representative of the Spirit's moving and his presence and touching people. And as we pray this morning, we're going to use that model. And we're going to ask the Lord, according to Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 30, we're going to ask the Lord to anoint our words and to extend his hand to heal and to do signs and wonders among us. So we're going to pray for anyone that asked for prayer this morning. So I wrote in my notes that we're finishing the message early, but that didn't happen. But we were supposed to finish the message early so that we could get there. But we're going to pray for people this morning. And what I kind of think will happen, we'll have to see, is in just a second, I'm going to invite people who want to receive prayer from the elders to be anointed with oil and to have your condition prayed for, to have your life prayed for. Just going to come and line up all across the front. Then I'm going to ask the elders to come forward, and they're just going to move and pray for people. While all the people are standing here, the other thing that I hope, that I think I saw, was every person having at least one or two hands on them, praying for them and blessing them in the time while they're waiting to receive prayer or after they've been prayed for, blessing what the Lord released and asking God to finish that healing work. So there'll be a line of people needing prayer, and then there'll be elders moving in front, and then I'm asking that every person who comes up here would have at least one person agreeing in prayer, coming and ministering to them and praying over them and asking the Lord to do what he wants to do this morning. That's kind of how I picture it this morning. So would you please stand? Oh, and then before I forget, Megan is going to lead after a little while. She's going to lead a prayer team over here. Megan, I'm going to be doing this part, so if you'll pray for the other team members. And if you want to help her, pray for them. What's about to transpire is we're going to have a lot of movement after I pray. But for a few minutes, I don't want people to leave, if you don't mind. I want us to create an atmosphere of faith, an atmosphere of prayer. Or maybe what you need is that list of 11 things that I gave you. You want to sit and you actually want to start practicing, acknowledging the presence of the Lord and blessing what he's doing. And if you feel led to focus on where you are, that's great. You can do that. If you can come help us to pray for people, that would be great to come and just bless what the Lord is doing. Again, praying for them, for God to touch them with healing and to do everything he wants to do before an elder prays for them and after an elder prays for them. Then you'll know where the Spirit is finished. And then after a few minutes, I'll pray and I'll dismiss us. But I don't want us to leave. We're a corporate body. I want us to fight this morning in faith for what God wants to do. I want us to pray in faith. And we're going to do that. So Hoy's going to play. And we're not going to have a lot of worship and things going on because we want to be able to hear what's going on. But that's sort of what I envision. So anyway, enough talking. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're here this morning. Thank you for the privilege to pray and partner with you. Thank you that you know our needs. And Lord, what we're going to do as a congregation is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We're going to lift every one of these friends up to your throne right now, which is a throne of grace, that we might receive the help that we need in our time of need. Lord, right now we are lifting. We're lifting every person that comes forward, every person that needs prayer to you. And Lord Jesus, we offer our hands. Would you touch through us? Would you minister to us and through us? Oh, Father, your great love, would you just circulate among us with your amazing power? Jesus, would you move and touch and release resurrection grace here in power? Holy Spirit, would you use our hands, our words, our prayers? Would you minister through us the works and the words of Jesus? We pray that you'll anoint this oil. We recognize that the oil is representative of you, but we ask you to anoint and use this oil that we present now in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want prayer, I want to invite you to just come and line up across the front. If you have prayer for healing, it could be a physical condition. It could be a mental affliction or a mental issue. And just line up all the way across. If we need to, we'll go down the sides also. We're just going to be out there. Y'all are doing great. That's where I want everybody to line up so we can get in front of you. Elders, if you guys would come in front. You need to be in one line though, okay? Everybody needs to be one line. Don't get multiple or deep or whatever that word is. And again, you can go down the sides in a minute. If the line gets too long, you can go that way. Great. And at the end of our service, you can also, first-time guests, please stop by our Welcome Center. We want you to be blessed, and we want to send you with a gift. Again, we are no longer picking up the chairs. We want to continue to minister and to pray, and so we're not having to pick up the chairs. Okay, now what I want to do is, I would like for everybody to have a hand on them, if that makes sense. I would like for us to come and partner with the Lord. Would you come and lay hands on our friends that are going to be receiving prayer? So I'm going to invite anyone can come and do this and just bless what the Lord's doing. Just ask him to release everything that he wants to release. And do that before we get to them and do that after. When we're finished praying with them, you keep praying. Amen? You keep on praying and blessing what the Lord's doing. Ask him to finish. Ask them what they're feeling or sensing and then bless what he's doing. Okay, so Lord, right now, we thank you for these friends. We thank you that you're the God who heals. We thank you that you're the God who moves and works. And right now, we ask for your power. We ask for your healing. We ask you to extend your hand to do signs and wonders. And we ask you for breakthroughs. We ask you for touches of God. And we ask you for complete wholeness and healing. And we're asking for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's pray.